Good evening and welcome to The Buck Stops Here. I'm Vishnu Shom. A day after the horrific attack on Amarnath Yatris, we are broadcasting to you live from Srinagar today. It's been a day when people across Jammu and Kashmir, in fact people all over the country, are outraged at the horrific attack. Just how could something like this have happened, and what about the security, what about the safety of the thousands of Amarnath Yatris who are still very much a part of the Yatra and leave each and every day from the Jammu area. I'm also going to at this stage bring you a couple of exclusive details that we have at this stage on who might have been responsible. Well, the name doing the rounds is that of a 25 or a 26-year-old man named Abu Ismail. Abu Ismail had infiltrated into Jammu and Kashmir 2 years back. He is from Pakistan-occupied Kashmir. He is a Lashkar-e-Toyba operative, a Pakistani national. Now, he, along with between 3 to 5 others, were at that location where the bus was passing, and they were involved in hitting that bus or attacking that bus yesterday. Where does the Lashkar-e-Toyba as a terrorist outfit exist in their operations in Jammu and Kashmir? Well, it is, our sources in the security forces tell us, largely a disaggregated collective of local commanders. And though a man named Abu Dujana is believed to be the leader of the Lashkar-e-Toyba, there are local commanders who actually hold sway in the areas where they operate. And this man, Abu Ismail, is thought to have been one of the local commanders. What about the Hizbul Mujahideen? That's the other major terror group in Jammu and Kashmir. Well, that is thought to be a less disciplined force than the Lashkar-e-Toyba. And despite worries or concerns that the Lashkar and the Hizbul are actually working together, there are some who believe that, in fact, the links between the Lashkar and the Hizbul are tenuous. They're not necessarily as strong as what a lot of people believed. Now, the third element in this is the Lone Ranger. There is the ex-Hizbul terrorist, Zakir Rashid Bhatt. He's otherwise known as Musa. He was a part of the Hizbul Mujahideen. He's no longer part of that particular group. He is a Lone Ranger who operates the way Buranwani used to try and operate, by attracting people onto social media. Our sources in the security forces tell us that this effort or this attempt is not successful, and that he operates essentially as a Lone Ranger outside the operations of the Lashkar or the Hizbul Mujahideen. So this is the larger threat that Kashmir faces, the larger threat that India faces, the nature of this terrorism in our soil, in our country. But today, on the ground, as I mentioned earlier on, there is this enormous sense of loss. But what happened yesterday, where the attack took place, we have this report.
It was a night of terror on this bus for 60 Amarnath Yatris. These bullet marks, a chilling reminder of the horror and intensity of the attack, in which 7 pilgrims were killed, 5 of them women, and 19 others injured. More than 100 empty cartridges of AK-47 rifles have been found at the spot, showing that the terrorists wanted to cause maximum casualties. But it was the presence of mind and courage of this driver that saved lives. The Home Ministry says terrorists first fired from the right side of the bus near a petrol pump. But the driver kept driving through the hail of bullets. Terrorists fired again at the bus after it drove some 75 meters ahead near a workshop. The driver again charged past the terrorists and managed to reach a police check post. Investigations have revealed that at least 5 Lashkar men on motorcycles fired indiscriminately. Police say Pakistani terrorist Abu Ismail, a top LET commander who is currently operating in South Kashmir, masterminded this revenge attack after an LET module was exposed. This letter from IGP Kashmir Munir Khan clearly shows that on the 25th of June, there was an intel warning about a possible terror attack on Yatris. JNK's Deputy Chief Minister admits there were security lapses.
They had taken their darshan on 8th of July, and they were there in Srinagar visiting other tourist places. And they started on their own. But definitely it's a responsibility of the security operators to see that such buses or such vehicles which carry the passengers, they should not be allowed after sunset, after 7:30.
But there were other serious security lapses as well. How could the bus have gone unnoticed, even while crossing six checkpoints after sunset, right from Baltal base camp to Anantnag?
The terror attack on Yatra bus here at Anantnag has exposed gaps in security drill despite unprecedented security deployment along the Yatra route. While the police are confident that they will track down the killers very soon, Kashmiris across the political divide have spoken in one voice and strongly condemned terror attack on Amarnath Yatris. In Anantnag with cameraman Sheikh Tariq, Nazir Masoodi for NDTV.
Well, what a day of enormous grieving, enormous loss, not just in Jammu and Kashmir, but across the country. Joining us now, Wahidur Rehman, the spokesperson of the PTV. Thanks very much for being with us. Shujat Bukhari, the editor of Rising Kashmir. Anuradha Jamwal, the executive editor of Kashmir Times. And Lieutenant General Shankar Prasad, the former Director General of Infantry in the Army. I'd like to thank all of you very much for joining us. Wahidur Rehman, what assurance can the state government give other Amarnath Yatris? We've seen this horrific attack yesterday. What guarantee of their safety can you actually give to all of those who are still very much on the Yatra?
Well, I think we should not see this act of violence as an act to, you know, something that there is something wrong with the security grid or there is a security lapse. This is an act of terror. This is not, I think this is purely an act of terror, worst form of terrorism that has happened in Kashmir in last many, many years. And you cannot prevent such attacks. It can continue, even if we deploy security continuously. You can have multi-layer security protection, but such attacks cannot be prevented because the intention of this attack is very clear, that they want to create a communal tension. The very intention is that they tried, you know, to target security forces and civilians in the darkness. So it's very difficult, you know
you just made a point, and I don't mean to interrupt
everywhere.
But
so the,
you seem you Mr. Wahidur Rehman, you almost sound defeated that you can't stop attacks like this. Is that the message?
No, it's not about defeated. It's not,
you can't stop attacks.
I think No, the point I'm trying to make is that this is an act of terrorism, and I think we as a society have, you know, responded very well as Kashmiris. But I'm trying to tell you that it's not a security lapse. It's that you have to understand that there is a country trying to continuously and consistently trying to create, destabilize the peace process, destabilize harmony in state of Jammu and Kashmir. And this is purely being facilitated across the border, and militants have been identified. They are involved. And you have to,
We know all of that.
Yes.
That is being sponsored by Pakistan. But I think the larger question is this, you know, whenever an incident happens, all of us, and certainly in the media as well, we get into a knee-jerk reaction. Where is the lapse? Who has failed? The fact of the matter is that somewhere or the other, there may well be a failure. But what do we do looking forward? Is there any definitive way of securing the thousands of people? And what you're telling me so far, Mr. Wahidur Rehman, is that you don't believe that you can actually do something differently.
Yeah, we are committed to the safety security of Yatris. It's not that, I mean, JNK government, JNK police, Indian security forces are committed to the security and safety. But you have to understand that once you have such acts of terror happening, we can counter them, we have to fight them together. And that's what the collective response as a society and as a state has been there. There has been a collective response.
But that collective response exists. That collective response exists. All of India stands united in the fight against terrorism. We stand with the families of each and every innocent person who loses their life to terror. That goes without saying. But General Shankar Prasad, let me come to you next. At one level, it is correct that when there are determined attackers, determined to end lives, possibly suicide attackers themselves, then what sort of security or what sort of defense can anybody really provide? And in the midst of this, we've got the Amarnath Yatra, and we don't want to end the Amarnath Yatra. So realistically, what security solutions exist? General.
See, at the tactical level, the SOPs exist. The detailed procedures have been laid down. But it is the man on the spot who is to be responsible to execute that SOP in the letter and spirit, which is where sometimes, as in this case, a lapse has taken place. What is most important to your question is the issue as to, it's not just the 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 terrorists who have done this act. Just imagine they're going on a motorcycle with arms, perhaps passing through some checkpost, or perhaps arm being given at the local spot. There is a huge amount of local support. There are people who are harboring them, the people who are keeping the weapons for them, the people who are providing them shelter, the people who are providing them all the logistic support, money, etc., etc. So that is a larger group. Unless while we at the tactical level look at these 6-7 militants, which we can deal with in a manner, there is also this support element which needs to be dealt with, which is overgrown. I cannot see for the life of me as to why this element is not being targeted. And the reason is obvious. There are elements of political class who are unable to identify this problem and permit this to escalate, so-called peaceniks. Vishnu, give me one more minute. You see, the problem is more political than military. Of course, there is a military response to it. Military response means security response. But there is a political problem. If you do anything, somebody will say, army chief is a charakka gunda. He's a general Dyer. And the opposition will support it. What message are we sending? There is a Hurriyat which condemns
these things. So let me get a response,
Jensen. And are supporting getting money from across the border. So. No, just let me just finish. So therefore,
General,
this
again,
issue,
General, you made your point. I need to get a response and come back to you. No, I take your point. And Shujaat Bukhari, would you like to take on the point mentioned by the general? That, look, you know, it's not enough to perhaps say that, look, it's coming across from Pakistan and we would need to target them. We know where it is all coming from. What about the element that exists in Jammu and Kashmir, overground support for terrorists? Should there be more of a free hand given to security forces in tackling like this? Or is a lack of political will coming in the way of securing our citizens?
Vishnu, what more free hand you want in Kashmir? You have Armed Forces Special Powers Act. You have huge army presence in Kashmir. It is the highest militarized zone in the world. What else you need? I just want to actually remind your panelists on the other side that today when Kashmir stood united in condemning this kind of an attack, and it was above any politics, it was across the political divide, it was civil society, it was the traders, it was business community who came out and who protested against this, saying that this is unacceptable in Kashmiri society. So what more message you need from the people of Kashmir? And I think that going back to the attack, I think it is more of a problem of security in the state of Jammu and Kashmir, particularly in Kashmir Valley. It is part of a security problem. I don't see it directly as something which was aimed directly at Yatra and all that. We had much more dangerous attacks before this, when 6 policemen were killed. So there is a security situation which has deteriorated over a period of time, and I think we need to look into this problem in that context. That's number one. Number two is General Chaudhary is very right in saying that there is a lot of support to the militants in Kashmir. And we, and there is a lot of support to militants in Kashmir. We have seen in past so many months that how thousands of people have been rallying behind them and coming into their funerals. But the issue is that who is going to address that issue? That why that kind of a support has suddenly
that's
come?
That's what he's asking.
Because there is complete.
But that's exactly what he's asking. Who is going to address that
exactly
issue?
Exactly that. Yeah. Yeah, I'm telling you, because I think it is the responsibility of the government of India, it is responsibility of the state government to have a political approach to the problem. There is complete absence of political engagement, and for the last 3 years, I mean, this issue has been actually handed over to the security grid, and Delhi sees the problem through law and order and security.
Okay.
I don't think that's the, answer.
Shujaat bhai, I want to bring Anuradha in also. I think the point that he mentioned, he says, is something that a lot of people have been saying as well. When it comes to Jammu and Kashmir, in the present scenario, there isn't one bigger, grand idea. There isn't a vision to transform the state politically. There isn't a vision to actually tackle this issue at a level at which it's not been done. There is one solution, it's a military solution. There is that particular element. But politically and other in other ways, is there that one great idea, an idea, for example, which Vajpayee had in the past? Do we see an idea like that lacking right now, Anuradha?
Yes, definitely so. That vision for a political approach, for a political engagement in Kashmir is lacking. In fact, there is a policy paralysis in New Delhi for quite some time. Militarily, it is important to crack down on militants, and whenever these kind of attacks take place, of course, the security lapses need to be plugged as well. But we need to go beyond just the military approach. As of now, we just have about 200 to 300 militants operating in Jammu and Kashmir. And against that, we have a force of more than 7 lakh, army and security forces put together. And if that is not considered enough, with all the, as Sujat mentioned, with all the kind of free and unbridled powers that the security forces enjoy, then I'm sure we're really on the wrong track. So there is need to initiate a dialogue with all cross sections of society, and especially with Kashmiris who feel more alienated, are more battered, and and the way the Kashmiri society has been brutalized. One thing I would like to say is I still find hope for and space for that dialogue in Kashmir, looking at today, and that renews my hope, because despite being a massively brutalized society, the way Kashmiris have shown maturity and collectively condemned a heinous attack like yesterday's, I think that renews our hopes, and we need to make that beginning.
Right. And we need to make sure that that counts in the future as well. I'd like to thank all of you very much for joining us. When it comes to the scenario on the ground, there really are no immediate solutions at all. But what about the urgent requirement to protect the Yatris? I can actually tell you that as we speak, there are security meetings even now which are taking place. The army chief was heading one of the meetings along with the chief secretary, with the director general of the CRPF, the state police. There is a great deal, and of course the minister of state Homo was here as well. There's a great deal of pressure on the establishment to try and sort things out, to try and figure out what to do next. Will they be able to do something in double quick time? But what about the reactions on the ground in Gujarat? The people who were killed, the Amarnath Yatris, were from Gujarat, and their bodies were flown to Gujarat, to Surat, on a special Indian Air Force plane. We have this report.
Mohanlal Sonkar's wife was really excited about her visit to the Amarnath Shrine. When he spoke to her on Monday evening, there was joy in her voice. She had done her darshan and was returning home. 2 hours later, she was killed by terrorists. Eight kilometers away, another family devastated. Every year for the last 15 years, Nirmala Thakur went for a pilgrimage. This year, it was her last. Just 100 kilometers away, nearby Valsad, a son remembers his mother. 50-year-old Lakshmi Ben would go and work during the yatra.
These families have been torn by terror. They now struggle to cope with the irreparable loss that has been inflicted upon them. With camera person Chandroday, this is Anand Zanane for NDTV.
Well, in all of this, there was one welcome small silver lining, Yes, many people lost their lives yesterday, but so many more could have died. It was because of the bravery of the driver of the bus, Salim, that so many lives were saved. Here is his story.
A hero's welcome for Sheikh Salim Kafur Bhai. The bus driver from Gujarat is credited with refusing to stop the bus under attack from terrorists, understanding that halting could mean more lives lost. After driving for about a kilometer, Salim stopped the bus at an intersection in Kahanbal. At 9:30 p.m., around an hour after the terrorist struck, Salim dialed his cousin to share his horror.
आतंकवाद का कोई धर्म नहीं होता है. वो ये नहीं देखते कि गोली मुसलमान को मार रहे हैं या हिंदू को मार रहे हैं. अभी ड्राइवर तो मुसलमान ही था.
On his arrival at Surat, Chief Minister Vijay Rupani was among the first to meet him.
हम रिक्वेस्ट करेंगे कि उनको वीरता पुरस्कार मिले.
For now, Salim is just happy to be back home, away from the horror of Monday night. Bureau Report, NDTV.
And predictably, the political blame game has started. There are already some calls of having central rule in Jammu and Kashmir. Is that necessarily a solution? We are told at this stage there is no thinking along those lines for there to be an actual decision to that end. But how have the politics post this horrific attack played out? We have this report.
Chief Minister Mehbooba Mufti strongly condemning the terror attack on Amarnath Yatris. But hours after the attack, questions on the security situation in the state. And again, whispers in Delhi's corridors. Will the centre impose governor's rule? Veteran leader Karan Singh has called for the dismissal of the government, though his party, the Congress, has not yet said the same.
We have to ensure that the yatra continues with full security and that this sort of lapse does not occur. My personal view is that the only step that now needs to be taken is immediate imposition of governor's rule.
While admitting that there was security lapse, Deputy Chief Minister Nirmal Singh told NDTV this wasn't a failure of governance, but a proxy war by Pakistan.
I'm telling that it's a proxy war. A nation is behind, which is our neighbor Pakistan, is behind all these terrorist attacks. It's a proxy war. We have to look into, inquire into all the circumstances. Why bus left at 5 p.m.? Why it was allowed to go towards Jammu after sunset. Despite all security measures, a message has gone as if the yatra is not secure, which is not the case. Because this was a security lapse and definitely we shall inquire into it.
Kashmiriyat ki taro tazgi.
Home Minister Rajnath Singh reached out to the Kashmiri people in these trying times, tweeting, "The people of Kashmir have strongly condemned the terror attack. It shows the spirit of Kashmiriyat is very much alive." And then he went on to admonish this woman on Twitter. Opposition parties who met in Delhi to choose their vice presidential candidate passed a resolution asking why the attack happened, despite very specific intelligence that pilgrims would be targeted. With Sunil Prabhu in Delhi, Rohit Wellington for NDTV.
Well, what remains absolutely clear is this. In a situation like this, there need to be mature reactions on the ground. It's not a time for knee-jerk reactions. It's a time to respect the families and remember the dead and to act decisively, but to act in a manner which is mature at all levels, militarily and at the level of government, at the center and at the state.
Time now for this short break.